Welcome to Stories from the Shadows. Haunted tales from the golden age of ghost stories and supernatural horror fiction. I'm Ardell, reading Sweeney Todd. Chapter 6. It is night, and a man, one of the most celebrated lapidaries in London, but yet a man frugal withal, although rich, is putting up the shutters of his shop. This lapidary is an old man, his scanty hair is white, and his hands shake as he secures the fastenings, and then over and over again feels and shakes each shutter, to be assured that his shop is well secured. This shop of his is in Moorfield, then a place very much frequented by dealers in bullion and precious stones. He was about entering his door when a tall, ungainly-looking man stepped up to him. This man had a three-cornered hat, much too small for him, perched upon the top of his great, hideous-looking head, while the coat he wore had ample skirts enough to have made another of ordinary dimensions. Our readers will have no difficulty in recognizing Sweeney Todd, and well might the old lapidary start at such a very unprepossessing-looking personage who thus addressed him. "Do you deal in precious stones?" "Yes, I do," was the reply, "but it's rather late. Do you want to buy some?" "No, I sell." I dare say it's not in my line. If there are rubies, they are not in the market."
"I have nothing but pearls to sell," said Sweeney Todd.
"I mean to keep my diamonds, my garnets, topazes, brilliants, emeralds, and rubies." "The devil you do! Why, you don't mean to say you have any of them?"
"Come, I'm too old to joke with, and I'm waiting for my supper. Just look at the pearls."
"I can't tonight."
"Well, I'll go to Mr. Coventry's. He'll deal with me."
The lapidary hesitated. "Stop," he said. "Oh, what's the use of going to Mr. Coventry? He has not the means of purchasing what I can pay present cash for. Come in, come in. I will at all events look at what you have for sale."
Thus encouraged, Sweeney Todd entered the little, low, dusky shop. And the lapidary, having procured a light, and taken care to keep his customer outside the counter, put on his spectacles and said,
"Now, sir, where are your pearls?"
"There," said Sweeney Todd, as he laid out a string of 24 pearls before the lapidary. The old man's eyes opened to an enormous width, and he pushed the spectacles right upon his forehead as he glared in the face of Sweeney Todd with undisguised astonishment. Then down came his spectacles again, and taking up the string of pearls, he rapidly examined every one of them, after which he exclaimed,
"Real! Real, by heaven! All real!"
Then he pushed his spectacles up again to the top of his head, and took another long stare at Sweeney Todd.
"I know they're real," said the latter. "Will you deal with me, or will you not?"
Will I deal with you? Yes. I'm not quite sure they are real. Let me look again. Ah, I see. Counterfeit, but so well done. Really, for the curiosity of the thing, I will give £50 for them."
"I'm fond of curiosities," says Sweeney Todd, "and as they are not real, I will keep them. They will do for a present to some child or another."
"What? Give those to a child? You must be mad. That is to say, not mad, but certainly indiscreet. Come now, at a word. I'll give you £100 for them."
"Harkee," said Sweeney Todd, "it neither suits my inclination nor my time to stand here chaffing with you. I know the value of the pearls, and as a matter of ordinary and everyday business, I will sell them to you so that you may get a handsome profit."
What do you call a handsome profit?"
"The pearls are worth £12,000, and I will let you have them for 10. What do you think of that for an offer?"
What odd noise was that? Oh, it was only I who laughed. Harkee, my friend, since you do know the value of your pearls, and this is a downright business transaction, I think I can find a customer who will give £9,000 for them, and if so, I have no objection to give you £8,000. Give me the £8,000, said Sweeney Todd.
Stop a bit. There are some rather important things to consider. You must know, my friend, that a string of pearls of this value are not to be bought like a piece of old silver of anybody who might come with it. Such a string of pearls as these are like a house or an estate, and when they change hands, the vendor must give every satisfaction as to how he came by them, and prove how he can give the purchaser a good right and title to them.
Pshaw! Said Sweeney Todd. Who'll question you? You're well known to be in the trade and to be continually dealing in such things.
That's very fine, but I don't see why I should give you the full value of an article, without evidence as to how you came by it.
In other words, you mean you don't care how I came by them if I sell them to you at a thief's price, but if I want their value, you're particular?
My good sir, you may conclude what you like. Show me that you have a right to dispose of the pearls, and you need go no further than this for a customer.
I'm not disposed to take that trouble, so I shall bid you good night, and if you want any pearls again, I would certainly advise you not to be so wonderfully particular where you get them.
Sweeney Todd strode towards the door. But the lapidary was not going to part with him so easily, so springing over his counter with an agility one would not have expected from so old a man, he was at the door in a moment and shouted at the top of his lungs,
"Stop thief! Stop thief! Stop him! There he goes, the big fellow with the three-cornered hat! Stop thief! Stop thief!"
These cries, uttered with great vehemence as they were, could not be totally ineffectual. But they roused the whole neighborhood, and before Sweeney Todd had proceeded many yards, a man made an attempt to collar him, but was repulsed by such a terrific blow in the face that another person who had run halfway across the road with a similar object turned and went back again, thinking it scarcely prudent to risk his own safety in apprehending a criminal for the good of the public. Having got rid thus of one of his foes, Sweeney Todd, with an inward determination to come back some day and be the death of the old lapidary, looked anxiously about for some court down which he could plunge, and so get out of sight of the many pursuers who were sure to attack him in the public streets. His ignorance of the locality, however, was a great bar to such a proceeding, for the great dread he had was that he might get down some blind alley and so be completely caged, and at the mercy of those who followed him. He pelted on at a tremendous speed, but it was quite astonishing to see how the little old lapidary ran after him, falling down every now and then and never stopping to pick himself up, as people say, but rolling on and getting to his feet in some miraculous manner that was quite wonderful to behold, particularly in one so aged and so apparently unable to undertake any active exertion. There was one thing, however, he could not continue doing, and that was to cry, "Stop thief," for he had lost his wind and was quite incapable of uttering a word. How long he would have continued to chase is doubtful, but his career was suddenly put to an end as regards that by tripping his foot over a projecting stone in the pavement and shooting headlong down a cellar which was open. But abler persons than the little old lapidary had taken up the chase, and Sweeney Todd was hard-pressed. And although he ran very fast, the provoking thing was that, in consequence of the cries and shouts of his pursuers, new people took up the chase, who were fresh and vigorous and close to him. On he flew at the top of his speed, striking down whoever opposed him, until at last many who could have outrun him gave up the chase, not liking to encounter the knock-down blow which such a hand as his seemed capable of inflicting. His teeth were set, and his breathing became short and laborious. The cry of "Stop, thief!" still sounded in his ears, and on he flew, panting with the exertion he made, till he heard a man behind him say, "Turn into the second court on your right, and you will be safe. I'll follow you. They shan't nab you if I can help it." Sweeney Todd had not much confidence in human nature. It was not likely that he would, but panting and exhausted as he was, the voice of anyone speaking in friendly accents was welcome, and rather impulsively than from reflection, he darted down the second court to his right. Please join me next time for the further adventures of Sweeney Todd, here on Stories from the Shadows. In the meantime, I wouldn't blame you if you left the lights on.